الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the quality of the believers. And He said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ Allah said, and the believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beyond everything else, more than anything else. Ashad. Ashad is the superlative form of shadid. Ashad hubba lillah. And Allah described this as the quality of the believers. Who are the believers? The ones who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. I remind myself and you, therefore, that to check our own level of iman, to check our own level of faith. It is necessary therefore to ask, how much do I love Allah? To ask, how much do I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in Surah Tawbah, very in much more detail, this business of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. In Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Tawbah enumerated 8 things which we normally love. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to the people, that if you love, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ if you love your parents, وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ your children, وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ your brothers and sisters, وَأَشِيرَتُكُمْ and your extended family, وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا and the wealth that you accumulate, and you وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَا كَسَادَهَا and the trade and businesses in which you fear a loss, وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا and the homes and houses and mansions and palaces that you build, and then you look at them and you feel happy. All these 8 things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ Allah said, if these things are more beloved to you than Allah, if they are more beloved to you than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if they are more beloved to you than jihad fi sabilillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَتَرَبَّصُوا Go and wait. Get out. Disappear. Vanish. فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ Go and wait for the amr of Allah. Go and wait for the punishment of Allah. Go and wait for the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterated and said that Allah, verily, Allah does not give hidayah to the people who are rebellious. قَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ Now therefore, I remind myself and you that to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not just to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else, to love Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only to love Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but to love him more than anything else, and to give precedence and to give priority to the work of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the requirements of being a believer. This is a conditional ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said very clearly. He described and he said that if you don't have these things, then goodbye. And therefore we have to ask ourselves, how much do I love Allah? Now how do you judge that? How do you judge whether you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? We'll deal with that today, and we'll deal with the issue of loving Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tomorrow inshallah. How do we judge if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The same way as you judge if you love anybody or anything else. Right? If I ask you, how much do you love your wife? You say, I love her more than anything else. Well, what's the proof? So, well, you know, every month I go to work, I bring my salary, I bring my business profit or whatever it is. It's in the bank, she has a checkbook, she can spend whatever she wants. I never ask her any questions about that. She gets 3 meals, breakfast, lunch, dinner. She can use my car whenever she wants. And she can sleep in the bed. Now, all of this is true. But does this demonstrate that you love your wife more than anything else? No. This is standard. I mean, what do you expect? Do you expect her to live on one meal? No. These are standard. This is supposed to happen. Big deal. So how will you say? You say, no. You see, my proof that I love my wife more than anything else is I bought her now a solitaire and gave it to her on a gold chain, and if she puts it round her neck, she has to walk in ruku because it is so big and heavy that she cannot stand up. Alright, this is, you know, acceptable, right? I'm sure the wife will accept it even more than that. Shakib is smiling, mashallah. So the point is that something exceptional, what you don't normally do. What you do normally, supposing you say, well, I love Allah more than anybody else. Okay, so what's the proof? Well, I'm praying my salah on time, I'm giving my zakat on time, and so on and so on. This is standard, supposed to happen. If you are a Muslim, you are supposed to do all of this. Alhamdulillah, it's a good thing. Nobody, you know, you're not devaluing that, but you can't say that this is proof that I love Allah. No, it's not proof. This is regular, supposed to happen. Right? I'm praying Tarawih. Alhamdulillah. What is the proof? And as I said, the proof is in doing what you don't normally do. What is the exception? What is the exceptional about that? And Ramadan comes to remind us of this. Show something, prove something, you know, determine. And my submission to you is, and reminder to myself is, that proof is to sit down and reflect and say, what is the new thing that I am going to do? What is the change that I am going to bring about in my life? Only to please Allah. For each of us, it will be a different thing. You can't. I cannot, for example, say you should do this because maybe you are doing it already. Allah Allah, who knows? So for each of us, it has to be a different thing. It will be. We have to see in our own life. We have to reflect and say, what is the change that I need to bring in my life? What is the meaning of change? Change means one of two things: either something which I am currently doing, which I will stop doing because I know this thing does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it's like one of those borderline cases. I don't know whether it pleases or doesn't please. So I don't want to indulge in all this. Let's be clear. Let's be absolutely without doubt. Do only what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this particular thing which I do, I will stop doing. Alhamdulillah. And I'm doing it only to please Allah. No other reason. That's one way. Leave something which you are currently doing which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second way is to do something extra. So, you might say, well, alhamdulillah, my life is free from all haram. I do not do anything, you know, deliberately which is haram. So, there is really nothing that I have to leave. But, I am going to now start doing this particular thing only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So say, for example, I will read so much Quran every day, which normally I did not used to do. Now I will read so much more. Or I will do this much of charity. Or I will control my anger for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or I will be specially nice to the people who work with me or my family and so on. Especially, and then you identify and say, what are the normal trigger points? Everyone has their own. There are some things which, get somebody... Some people very angry about it. Other people say, hey, what is it? It's a small thing, you should leave it. But for some people, that's a trigger point. So, I am going to identify those trigger points and say, no, doesn't matter. Whoever does any nonsense, I will not react. I will not, let that trigger fire my gun. No. And I'm doing it only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, whatever that particular thing might be, so either I will stop doing something, or I will start doing something. And the benefit of Ramadan is, inshallah, we'll start now. That's the reason I thought let's talk about this early enough in Ramadan, that we have enough time to practice it during this month when the shayateen are chained and so on, so the practice becomes easier. So it becomes a permanent feature in our life. How do we prove that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else? And as I mentioned, to prove is absolutely critical and essential, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this a conditional thing, and He told us in the Quran very clearly, you have to show this, otherwise you are in trouble. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to identify these things and make it easy for us to do it. And as I said, the only way that will happen is if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, recently in the last few days, and this happens every time in the beginning of Ramadan, various emails people send of how to be more productive during Ramadan. So people will say, for example, after every salah, read one page of Quran. So then by the time you finish five salawat, you have finished five pages, and do this and do this. And so they have a timetable, you know, morning I will wake up at this time and this time and this time, and I will go to sleep at 10 o'clock. And then somebody will say, well, you know, I'm living in the UK, 10 o'clock is Maghrib, how can I go to sleep at 10 o'clock? So anyway, this is all, nobody says 10 o'clock is some holy number. But point is that various structures, all time management tools are used to try to make Ramadan more productive. But what I was reflecting and thinking, that nobody talks about what has to come before the time management tool, which is the desire to do something. Where is the motivation? I mean, there's no shortage of tools. There's enough number of, you know, diaries and whatnot, and time managers, and we've got all sorts of electronic gadgets and stuff on our phones and on the computers. But the point is, where is the motivation to use it? Without that motivation to use it, it's not a matter. You just tell somebody read one page of Quran after every salah, he will still not do it. He knows he has to do it, but there's no motivation. Where is that motivation? That motivation is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else. That motivation is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah that I recited in the salah, in Surah Al-Muzzammil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned this. And I'm not going into the details now, we don't want to make this long. But in Surah Al-Muzzammil, specifically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed and said, stand in the night. قُمِ اللَّيْلِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, except for a small piece. We'll talk about the details of this, inshallah, in the coming days. But what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Is He saying to the people, do this instead of the first salah? No. In the latter part of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions additional. And what is the, why will anyone do that addition? Because they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So before we use any of the time management tools, and how do I make my Ramadan productive and so on, alhamdulillah, very good. But think of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If how do I bring the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into my heart, then automatically everything becomes very easy. The one who loves Allah, he loves to be in the masjid. The one who loves Allah loves to read the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who loves Allah is looking for opportunity. How can I please Allah? I can please Allah by doing this. I can please Allah by saying this. Or in some cases, I can please Allah by keeping my mouth shut. Sometimes the best thing to do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just keep quiet, finished. Say nothing, Allah will be pleased. If you open your mouth, you will say something which will create trouble for yourself. So the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for those opportunities. He's searching for the opportunities. So let us ask, how do we bring this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the heart? And final closing point, how do you do that? By shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that links back to the first day which I talked about, everything begins with shukr. How do you love Allah? By the shukr of Allah. The more you reflect on the ihsanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, Allah, Allah gave me this. Allah gave me this. I was some, you know, insect in a gutter somewhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took me out of there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me a position today where I can talk about His greatness. Why did He do it? I don't know. We have to ask Him. He did it because He's Rahman or Rahim. He did it to demonstrate His Rahmah. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take the weakest of His creatures and makes Him do the biggest of the things? So that the people are not fooled into thinking that the good which is happening has something to do with the talent of that person. No, this is purely and purely the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else. Nothing else. Reflect on this. Reflect on the ihsanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a body which works. Ramadan will come and go. There are so many people, alhamdulillah, good friends of ours and everybody else. Ramadan will come and go, but they are lying on the bed because illness, operation, this. Rashi Saab, after his open heart surgery, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him complete recovery and, you know, make him totally healthy. But right now today, he is in a state where alhamdulillah, he is recovering, but he cannot pray Tarawih, he cannot pray Tahajjud and so on and so forth. I am sure I know him well enough to know that he will give an arm and a leg to be able to do that. But he can't do it. It's no sin on him. There is a reason. But the point I am saying is that we could be in the same position. No? But alhamdulillah, Allah gave us a body which works and functions. And we are able to do our ibadah properly. Just take a simple thing. There are some people who have to go to the toilet very frequently. And this sometimes happens with old age, prostrate, enlargement, this, that and so on. Now what is the value that alhamdulillah we can sit here peacefully without any pressure on the bladder, without any discomfort, and we can pray 20 rakat of Tarawih, 4 rakat of Isha, 3 rakat of Witr, and then sit and listen to the tafsir without absolutely no discomfort whatsoever. Alhamdulillah, what is the value of this? Maybe I still have the desire to pray Tarawih, but after every 4 rakat, every 2 rakat, I have to run to the toilet. What will you do? The Jamaat will not wait for you. You go, by the time you go to the toilet and come back, 4 rakat is gone. So, whole salah is disturbed. In the end, you will still pray that 20, afterwards, you know, you will make up and whatnot. But your whole salah is disturbed. What can you do? You can't do anything. Ask the people for whom that is a problem and they'll tell you what you can do. You can't do anything at all. You have to live with that. Short of surgery and so on and so forth, there is no cure for this. What is the value? This is why I say we must reflect, we must think and teach our children to think. Sit them down when you are having iftar and so on and so forth. Sit them down, don't start eating. Break your fast, but then ask them, all this food on the table, tell me, should we thank Allah for this or not? So many ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give half a date. Why is he saying half a date? Because at that time people were actually living in that level of poverty. Today half a debt. Today we got the opposite. Our problem is to diet because we are too much food. We are not too little food. But we are thank Allah. No? I mean, alhamdulillah. We don't have one thing. We've got multiple things for iftar. Then we go Tarawih, whatnot. When we go for dinner, alhamdulillah, multiple things. For suhoor, we have, you know, I keep saying just eat cereal, but most people in this city, they think this is sacrilege. Yeah? It is a threat to your iman if you only eat cereal. But alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you. But you've got people in the house who actually wake up in the night and you make all your parathas and whatever else you eat in the morning. Now, we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all this. And that is how the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come into the heart. Ya Allah, in this day and age, all of these things happening. Look at the children, mashallah, may Allah bless all of them. I feel so happy when I come. What is the value of one thing like this? What is the value of this little fellow? Here. Ask Fazal Allahuddin, how much he will pay for this? We must seriously think. And look and thank Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep them as pious and mashallah, as pure they are. May Allah keep them, you know, their whole life like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them a source of rahmah for us long after we have gone into our qabr. You know, what is the value of his dua long after we are dead? You can't make it happen. Only Allah will make it happen. But by your own tarbiyah, by setting the right example, by giving the right opportunities and so on and so forth, we create assets for us, earning assets. I call these earning assets, you know. You invest and leave it. The earning keeps on coming year after year after year. This is the thing. Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single time I enter this masjid and the whole bunch of these young ones sitting here. Thank Allah, Allah has given this. I mean, this is the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Specifically, I say this is a ni'mah for me, alhamdulillah. Whatever else good comes to everybody, alhamdulillah, good for you. But personal ne'mat for me Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. When I enter the masjid, you got 2 kids, 3 kids, 4 kids, I got, I don't know how many. 20s, 30s, 40s, all ages Allah has given. Alhamdulillah. It's when we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, how can I thank you? How can I thank you? How is it possible to thank you? I do something, but you know. And that's why I want to end with this hadith, where in the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi, he mentions this hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there was a man who praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these words. He said, Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. He said, oh my Rabb, lakal hamd, all praise and all thanks to you, kama yambaghi li jalali wajhik, in keeping with the majesty of your glorious countenance, wa azimi sultanik, and in keeping with the magnificence of your kingdom. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the recording angels had never heard the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these words. So they did not know how much of hasanat that they should write. So they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, as I have mentioned many times before, all of these hadiths we must understand. When we say the angels go and tell Allah, it does not mean Allah does not know or Allah is waiting for the angels to tell. No. This is also the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks things from his creatures which he already knows in order to make those angels the witnesses in favor of the slave. So the angels go and say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, your slave has praised you in words which we had never heard before. So how much reward should we write? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what did he say? And the angel said, Ya Rabbal Alameen, he said, Rabbi lakal hamd, kama yambaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultani. What must we write for this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, he said, you write his words as he said them, and I will reward him in keeping with the glory and magnificence of my countenance and my face, and I will reward him in keeping with the glory and magnificence of my kingdom. What is the, can anybody quantify that? It's like, even if I say that, it's like counting the grains of sand on a beach, that is, that's not even a, that doesn't even get close to that. This is the nature of just the magnificence of the creation of Allah is such that we can't even talk about that. I don't even want to start that now, otherwise we'll be sitting here to go on. But so what about the Creator himself? Even the creation we cannot conceptualize. What about the Creator himself? So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we love Allah? By reflecting on His ni'mat for ourselves, on what He has given us, reflecting on His glory, reflecting on His magnificence, reflecting on His signs, and then we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more we thank Allah, the more we love Allah. And this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be expressed in doing extra, in doing more. Not the regular standard stuff which we have to do anyway. Extra. And that extra, as I said, bringing about change in our lives. So I want to request you, each one of us, let us sit today and think and say, what is the one change that I will bring about in my life in this Ramadan? What is the one change I will do? Start with one. Inshallah, we will do more. But let's start with one. What is the one change? Meaning, what is the one thing that I will stop doing? Or what is the one thing that I will start doing which I did not do till now? This is a very important thing for us to do. We ask Allah to make it easy for us and to accept it from us and to be pleased with us, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.